to worship you, to glorify you, and to lift high the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for those that are assembled here today. We thank you, Lord, that they thought it not robbery to come and worship you and praise you. For you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, that you would create within us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit unto us. I pray, oh God, that we would forget about ourselves and concentrate on you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary. And we're thankful that he's soon to return. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 What a glorious day it is to be alive, and we thank God for the opportunity to once again worship him. It's so easy to take for granted God's grace and mercy, but someone didn't wake up this morning. But God saw fit to allow us to see another day and our golden moments to roll on a little while longer, and to that we are grateful. I want to invite your attention to Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to read in your hearing verses 12 through 16 in Colossians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 12, this is what it says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So ends the reading of God's word. I would like to preach from the theme, let the peace of God rule your heart. I'm a one-point preacher. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace is having a tough time, isn't it? All you have to do is just look around and don't spend too much time in the network news, but the reality is someone here today, their peace is broken. It's a child, perhaps it's a workplace, but you're having a difficult time getting into this peace thing. And you're wondering whether or not you're ever going to experience or see peace again. I know I ought not be talking like that in a church house, but the reality is that some of us come here and we're so far away from peace we wouldn't recognize it if it slapped us in our face. Don't know sleepless nights have become your companion. But there is good news, and it's found in the word of God, straight out of the scriptures. I'll get to it in a minute, but I want to share with you why Paul is writing this particular letter. He's in his third chapter. He's reminding Christians, these faithful believers, of Christian character. You know, character still does matter, contrary to what we may see. So he's reminding these faithful believers, and he uses an amazing term. He says, put off and put on. He's really talking about a garment. And he says, you know, as my children, as my disciples, there's some characteristics that I need you to display. And if there was ever a time for believers to display the characteristics that he mentions here, I would submit to you that it is now. Because you don't know who you're working beside no more. Once upon a time, you would think that because you labored with someone for lo these many of years, that there might be a degree of protection, safety in their presence. But beloved, now you don't know. You wake up in the morning with the intention of coming back home, seeing your wife, your babies, and your children, and you're not coming back because someone where you work at, y'all don't hear me. You don't know. So, preacher, how can I possibly have peace in a world like this? Man, you better tell me something because I'm waking up tomorrow and I got to do this thing called work and community and life all over again. And I want to be able to know that I can travel and traffic throughout this community where I have to have influence or whatever with a semblance of peace. And I'm not just talking about peace being the absence of difficulty, but I'm talking about a peace that comes from knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No Christ, no peace. No Christ, you know peace. So he's writing these faithful believers, and he says some amazing things. He says, up there in verse 8, he says, I want you to put off, take off anger. I want you to take off wrath. I want you to take off malice. I want you to take off blasphemy. I want you to take off filthy language out of your mouth. Put off, he says, the old man. Put off the old man. Those things you used to do, I want you to take them off, and I want you to put on the new man. And he tells us what the new man puts on in verse 12. Therefore, he says, as the elect of God, those of us who have been called out from among them, those of us that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God, he says, holy, separated, pulled apart for a specific purpose, beloved. Isn't that amazing? That's what he thinks of us. And then he says, put on tender mercies. That's just a big fancy word to mean compassion. Show compassion toward one another and the people you come in contact with. Have a degree of empathy. Not just walk in their shoes, but see how you can walk alongside of them in the face of their dilemma. Compassion. He says, kindness. Put it on as you move and interact with people. Demonstrate some kindness because, beloved, what I'm learning is that somebody that you come in contact with is always carrying a heavy load. Someone may look like all is well, but their world is unraveling, and sometimes all they need from us is a gesture of kindness, a word, a deed, a card sent, whatever it is that the Lord lays upon your heart, be sensitive to how he is moving in and through you. You are his hands, his feet. Kindness. Humility. You see the smallness of yourself. You're really not all of that. On your best day, we all fall short. Humility. Putting pride at a low place and realizing that you're always not the smartest thing in the room, that you can always learn something from somebody. Humility, meekness, People confuse that with weakness, but Jesus was meek. It's just power under control. This is what he wants us to put on. This is what a dying world needs to see. This is what we need to display to one another. And then he says, long suffering. You're going to suffer long through some things. I don't know what it is, but sometimes it may be a marriage, it may be a child, it may be a job. Sometimes, beloved, we have to suffer through things in a long season. Somebody lied to you and told you that it's always going to be a happy ending. When you close your eyes and your voice is hushed, then there will be a happy ending. But until then, you're going to have some difficulty. Some hardship is going to visit you. It has your address, knows your name, and where you live at. Long suffering. Who told us this is going to always be la-di-da-di and everybody going to love you and like you? So don't get upset when the Lord does not always respond on your timeline. Whenever he shows up, Mama used to say, he's always on time. Amen. Preach next to yourself. Listen, and I'm going to be out of your way. He gives us some holy hints because he says something else that's really quite interesting. He says, above all of these things, in verse 14, he says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then watch this in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't want to go by that too fast. Because the first thing we need to do is choose to make room for peace. He says, let, allow the word of God, the peace of God. Allow, let. Could it be, and this doesn't even, could it be that some of us really don't want peace? We used to a level of dysfunction that we become at home with. You know, that's how you roll. Things is always jacked up. You like being in a state of helter-skelter. But listen, he's saying, let the peace of God rule. Jesus desires that you and I, beloved, experience peace. A sense of soul tranquility, a calmness, and that's only because of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of our peace. Him. That's why you really can't enjoy or know peace until you know him. Until Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is your gateway to peace. It has nothing to do with where you live, your zip code, where you went to school at, how much money you make, your advanced degrees, your accomplishments. Does not matter. None of it. Get all of that. But as far as peace, some of that stuff will give you more heartache than it will peace. Oh, you don't hear me. Some of us have been in situations where you have that, and it really hasn't brought you peace. You up at night, can't sleep, not eating, don't know what you're walking into in the morning. The arrows are out, and you're still jumping from last week's backstabbing. But when you know Christ, when you have him in your heart, when you make room for him, he makes room for you. Follow his agenda and he takes care of your agenda. Make room. I'm like you, I'm amazed at the foolishness that I make room for. You ever think about that? It's just me, I know, but I'm just saying. Sometimes they're just foolish things that really don't matter. Jealousy. Make room for that. People make room for that. Envy, strife, anger, all of these things we allow, we give space to, we give room to. And what I really need to make room for is the peace that surpasses all understanding, that only comes by way of a relationship with Him, by way of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Make room. We make room to argue, we make room to fuss, we make room to do everything but peace. And then we wonder why we walk around and taking all kind of Maalox and everything else to deal with these jacked up emotions because we've not made room for peace. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to me. Yeah, you know what I mean? So make room for peace. All right, Lois Evans is the wife of Tony Evans, great preacher. She is now battling gallbladder cancer. She was in remission, but it has come back. It was interesting to listen to an interview that she had about her situation. She said, you know, the prognosis is not always that great, but I'm at peace. She said, the saints throughout the world have been praying for me. Someone sent me a DVD with scriptures on it. I've been just enjoying His presence and peace. And she gives this interesting illustration. She said, if all is going well for you and there's no drama in your life, she said, that's good. But she said, I would recommend that you begin to dig deep. Dig deep in your prayer life. Dig deep in the scriptures. Dig deep with surrounding yourself with people can help you through the situation. She said, because what I've noticed is that when it begins to rain, she says they always stop building projects because they cannot build on a foundation when the water and the rains are coming. So she said, make sure that you dig deep when it's dry, when all is going well with you. Make sure you have a foundation that you're digging so that when the rains come, you won't have to stop anything. See, she knew the art of making room for Him. She knew the art of making room for peace. Difficulty, yes. Uncertain, yes. But she has a semblance of peace. Not the absence of difficulty, but peace in spite of the difficulty. That's the kind of peace I want. So that when all hell breaks loose, I'm trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. Because His track record has proven time and again that He can be trusted. Your husband may walk out, but I got peace. Foreclosure note, you may really have peace at that point. Or your wife. You may be finances, you don't know, but what I'm saying is choose peace and hold on to the peace that surpasses all understanding. Isaiah 26:3, I love it, it says, but thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in thee. It's all about trusting and believing Him who is able. Choose to let peace rule your heart. It's not enough to make room for peace. But I have to go one step further and allow the peace of God to rule my heart. That word rule is an interesting word. During the ancient days, it represented a referee or an umpire. They're the ones who made the decisions. He's saying, let the peace of God serve as an umpire and referee as it relates to your heart. Let the peace of God say, that's out. You don't need to be dealing with that. Let the peace of God rule our emotions. You know what often rules our emotions? Flesh. What I like, what I see, what I want. That's what rules most of our emotion. And what I've discovered is that those rascals can get me in a world of trouble if I let them rule me. You start saying things, doing things that are clearly outside of the will of God because you have chosen not to allow the peace of God to rule, to serve as an empire, a referee in our lives. I don't know about you, but I need a referee. I need somebody telling me that's out. What are you thinking about? You know, you have no business thinking that, doing that, going that. I need to be guided by the peace of God and allow His peace to rule my heart. It'll keep me from saying some things. It'll keep me from losing my way. Do you know some folks who have lost their way? They have no control over anything. They're only being controlled by the flesh and what they want to do. Well, there's a downside to that. You can ruin and wreck your life. So I'd rather have him on the throne serving as a referee than me, because my history tells me that I can blow it big time, just like all of us sitting in here. And you can come up here and share your own story about how you've blown it when you decided that you would not allow him to rule and serve as an empire in your life. Some stuff you're still trying to get over because of some bad choices that you did not allow him to navigate and help you with. So he says, be sure to let the word of God, and that's really what he's saying, let the word of God serve as an umpire. And I know he said that because when you look at verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is the word of God that helps us to be able to deal with life on life's terms. Okay, when you hear the preacher say over the gravesite, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, then you know to yourself, the word of God tells me, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm not going to always feel this way. Okay, if you're dealing with an issue of fear and you feel like giving up, the word says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my hand. You see, there's something about having the peace of God and the word of God. Notice he says that the word of God dwell in you richly. Dwell. Finds a resting place. And it says richly. Welcome the word in, because the word is abundant. It's there's something about the word of God that when you pick it up, it ministers to you. It communicates to you. The words come alive in your world, because this is God breathed. God is talking to me. When I open up his word, he is allowing me, helping me deal with whatever it is I may be facing. The word of God. That's why it's so important that we allow the word of God to dwell in us richly, because when difficulty comes, we will not fall apart. What we're going to rely on is what Scripture says. I'm going to trust God even in the dark. I can't see my way clear. I don't know where he's going, but I'm going to trust him anyway. Okay, let me challenge you as it relates to the word of God dwelling in you richly. Some of you may already have a devotional time. Most of us don't, if we're honest. I mean, we give a lot of lip service to it, you know, but we might read the daily bread, some of us. And then some of us really are students of the word, and we take this thing with a degree of due diligence. You know, we really get into it. But what if you made a commitment to really, really aim to have the word of God dwell in you richly? Preacher, what would that look like? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Here's one thing. What if you decided, I want to challenge you, for a week, if you said, well, you know what? No television. Don't throw nothing, all right? I know that's a bit much, but hear me. When I think about the amount of time that you give CNN, MSNBC, ESPN, Stephen Smith, all those people, who, by the way, are multi-millionaires, and I ain't getting a dime from none of them, watching them, listening to them, nothing. What if you said, instead of giving that TV so much FaceTime, and because I really want to make an effort to do better, I really want to draw closer to him, and the only way I can really do that and to know him better is to spend time in his word. So what I'm going to do is say no to the TV for 1 week. And instead of spending time with the television set, I'm going to spend time slow walking my way through the particular book that I like. I mean, you know, I'm not saying you got to do it from when you get home 5 until 10 at night. I don't, you're living, you got stuff to do, but think about how much further along I would be in my walk with him if I really made a concerted effort to allow the word of God to dwell in me more richly. We think it always got to be something real big and magnetic. No, no. All right, tell you what. Start a day. What about that? What about a day? I'm not even going to fool with none of that. And instead of that, it's like fasting. Yeah, you're fasting from TV. There you go. Someone's not ready to fast from, you know, the food, so won't you fast from TV? And I'm doing this because my aim, my goal, is to know him better. So that when those storms roll in, I got something I can hold on to because I've taken time to get to know the word of God. Allow the word of God to dwell. Talk to your wife, your spouse about it. Baby, look what I found out. Come here. I want to challenge us, beloved, because see, the world in which we live keeps telling us, you better find an anchor. And if you think your anchor is your job, your career, you better come again. That's not going to be enough. Let your anchor be the word of God found in the scriptures with the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, and giving you wisdom. So that's my challenge. I mean, you don't have to do anything I say, for real. I mean, you really don't. But here's the thing. My heart's cry is that you get to know him better. Because if you get to know him better, you begin to serve him better. And when you begin to serve him better, more of the people that you interact with may want to know what it is about your Jesus. We've already seen that demonstrated with Nate. People are now curious about his Jesus. Whereas before, they may not have been. But now, they say, there's something about this Jesus that I may need to find out about. God uses some strange and mysterious ways to sometime draw people to himself. He says something else. In verse 15, I'll be out of your way. He said, be thankful. He says, be thankful. He says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be A thankful person is one who understands that the peace of God rules in their heart and that the word of God indwells them. Because that person cannot help but give God praise. That's a thankful heart. When you look at the fact that you have peace with God and that the word of God indwells you richly, that gives you a heart of thanksgiving. You know what? It doesn't really then matter what you are dealing with. You can have a smile on your face regardless, because you know that I'm trusting the peace of God and the word of God dwells in me richly. And because of that, I can have a countenance that says, yes, I had to shed some tears, but you know what? I'm not going to always be shedding tears. I'm not going to always be feeling this way. I may be feeling bad now, but guess what? I'm going to get up and say, Lord, I trust you. You know what you're doing, and I'm going to leave the results and the outcome to you. He says, be thankful. That word thankful simply means favors. Favor. In this text, it means that he said, thank God for his favors. And I believe Paul knew something about that, because he had a tough time. He knew the things. He was beaten up and shipwrecked, spent the night out in the deep. This brother had it rough. But even in prison, he's still talking about being thankful. Isn't that something? Most of us have a hangdog expression, feel defeated. But no, not him. He's talking about being thankful. And perhaps that's the posture we ought to have. That regardless, come what may, I'm going to be thankful. And thankfulness simply leads to rejoicing. Lord, I praise you, I worship you, I glorify you for who you are and what you're doing in my life. Thank you for Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for your precious promises. Choose to be thankful. But you don't have to look at Paul's reasons for thankfulness. You have your own reasons. You're still here. Yep. You left a home last night, clean bed, food in your refrigerator, got a job to go to tomorrow, most of us. He's still providing. And that ought to give us a heart of thanksgiving. I know that this is foreign to some folk, because y'all had it good so long. I look at it and say, man, they just got it that way. They just got it that way. You know, getting too moved by too much. Go take more of you y'all there. You yelling, make somebody get excited. Hell, I ain't been through nothing. Well, I tell you what, just keep living. Get the tape and say, you know what? That Negro knew exactly what he was talking about, because now I see just what he means. Just what he means. He's thankful. He's rejoicing because he has the peace of God and the word of God indwells him. So it doesn't matter. The songwriter said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's an old one, isn't it? Yeah, that's an old one. It is well. It is well. Though Satan should buffet, though trials shall come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ have regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. He did that for us. And he's still doing great things for us. Lord, not have me not look at what I have as if something that I'm owed, but it's all because of your grace. Help me understand the importance of letting you rule my heart, serve as an umpire, telling me when to go, when to stop, and that you also want me to be thankful. Thankful. I challenge you. Let the word of God indwell you. Spend time with him. And I guarantee you, he'll reveal to you some things that you would have never known short of spending time alone with him and letting the word of God dwell and dwell you richly. And Father, we do love you. Lord, I pray that we just not be hearers of your word, but that we might strive to be doers of your word. Father, we're grateful today that you've allowed us to come here, and I pray now for that person who does not know you. Lord, I pray that this might be the day of decision, that they might confess you as Lord and Savior of their life. Move, Lord, as only you can, and we're trusting you for the outcome. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things.